أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today we're going to look at Surah Al-Abasa. And translated, it means he frowned. But Abasa in general is the mildest of forms of showing perturbance. It's described as kataba bayna aynayhi, which is the scrunching up of the forehead between the eyes. Before we go any further, it's quite important to study the occasion of the revelation of the surah. The Prophet ﷺ was under a lot of pressure to find a way to protect his small Muslim communities from the constant harassment of the Quraysh. So he thought that if he could get together the elite, the leaders of the Quraysh, and introduce them to Islam, then things might just improve. So now imagine that this meeting has been arranged and the Prophet is talking to these leaders. When Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, a blind man, hearing the voice of the Prophet, comes up and asks in a very loud voice, "O Muhammad, teach me what God has taught you." He continually repeated the phrase. The Prophet turned to see who it was. He is in a position where he has to manage both of them, the group of political leaders and the blind man. Keep in mind that divinity calls him, "Innaka laqulukin azim," you have the greatest, the most awesome of akhlaq. There is a difference of opinion amongst the mufassireen. Those like Sayyid Murtadha Alam al-Huda and Allama Tabatabai believe that the Prophet was not the intended subject here, and the frowning was done by the Meccan elite, for which there is no doubt. But then there are those Mufassirin who say that the Prophet may have been perturbed by this interruption and may have scrunched his forehead. However, the blind man could not see this, so he wasn't directly offended. Allah, however, mandates respect to him and rebukes the very elite who thought that they were doing the Prophet a favor by giving him their time. So now let's look at the surah as a whole. The focus of the surah is respect towards the blind believer, and it's a rebuke to the elite of the Quraysh who perceived independence of the Creator and demeaned the Prophet. So now let's look at the key concepts of the surah by looking at the building and its sections. We have five sections. The first section, from ayah 1 to 10, highlights respect towards the blind man who interrupted this meeting and a rebuke to the elite of the Quraysh. Here the Quran alludes that the Prophet tried to give his full attention to those who thought they were self-sufficient. And the Quran says he will not listen to you because he thinks that he already knows everything. It starts from ayah 5, which we looked at. Amma man istaghna, as for the one who considers himself self-sufficient and is indifferent to the truth. Fa'anta lahu tasadda, you gave him your attention. Wa ma alayka alla yazakka, even though you're not responsible if he will not purify himself. The Prophet's role was to deliver the message and not responsibility for cleansing other people. Comparing it to the blind man, Allah continues in ayah 8 to say, وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى, and as for the one who came to you striving, وَهُوَ يَخْشَى, and with the fear of God in his heart, فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى, of him you were unmindful. The incident raises the blind man's social status, showing Allah's love for him and the falsity of assumptions that a society's elite and wealthy are Allah's beloved. Now let's move to the second section. And the second section, from ayah 11 to 16, highlights the Quran as a powerful reminder available for the one who wants it. He says in ayah 11, "Kalla innaha tadhkira." Nay, or by no means, this is a powerful reminder. In other words, it's not a product desperate to sell. It's way too dignified a message. It's a sacred, classified, and purified scripture for those who want to reach their full potential. And it doesn't have to be forced upon anyone. people of understanding and insight will inevitably comprehend its awesomeness. Each word of it is a treasure. It is not something that is to be put in an amulet or looked upon as calligraphy or beautiful recitation or just something to protect a bride at a wedding ceremony. It is the guidance. And now the third section, ayah 17 to 23, the reflection on the creation of the human being. Allah starts off by saying, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. The human being, by rejecting and denying the reminder and the message, has brought about his own destruction. How ungrateful he is. In other words, so you think you're too great, too independent, too elite, and you do not need divinity? Let me remind you, Allah says, from where you began. He says, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَكَ. From what substance did he create you? مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. Out of a drop of reproductive fluid that contained a blueprint of your existence. And then, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ, and made his path easy for him. In other words, creation and guidance moved hand in hand to show each organ its specific function, so it knew its place in the jigsaw puzzle of creation. And then thumma amatahu fa akbara, then he caused him to die and to be buried. The whole biography of the human being encapsulated in these three ayat, one after the other. And then in ayah 22, you'll be brought back to life, you'll be resurrected. And finally, kalla lamma yaqdi ma amara. No, by no means has the human being fulfilled what was enjoined upon him. We were commanded to utilize our abilities in order to actualize our innate potential. And now the fourth section, reflection on the food we eat, our meals, as a divine mercy. It's as though Allah is saying, and if this lesson in humility on your origin is not enough, maybe you can't remember your beginning, maybe you can't understand death because it hasn't come to you. So reflect on what you can look at right now, your food. The Quran throughout presents two proofs for the day of resurrection, genetics and nature. So here he instructs us to reflect on nature, on plants, on their relative forms and functions, how seeds grow, where and how our food sources are created. He says, look at the abundant rain that falls. It splits the earth. The grain grows. There's grapes and edible fodder for livestock, olives and dates and dense gardens, fruits and grasses. Ending with mata'an lakum wa li'an'amikum, a provision for you and your livestock to enjoy. So it started off highlighting the ungratefulness of the human being. And through this reflection, it's asking the human being to be grateful. And now the final section, the day of Qiyamah, the fate of those who submit versus those who defiantly rebel. It starts off with فَإِذَا جَاعَتِ السَّاخَةَ, when the deafening cry of the day of resurrection comes. The catastrophe, the event that is so awe-inspiring that everyone will become totally self-absorbed and forget all about worldly connections. He says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْعِ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. The day when a man will run away from his brother, his mother, his father, his spouse and his children. It is similar to the Big Bang, which ushered in a new existence. He continues in ayah 37, لِكُلِّ امْرَئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. On that day, every human being will have enough concerns of his own to make him indifferent to others. The shocking event will be of such a magnitude that everybody will become completely preoccupied with their own affairs and what awaits them. And then the contrasting fates. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُصْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. There will be some people on that day whose faces will be beaming with happiness, laughing, rejoicing at the good news of salvation. And then, وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ تَرْحَكُهَا قَتَرَةٌ. And other faces on that day will be dust-stained and gloomy and darkened. تَرْحَكُهَا قَتَرَةٌ, covered in darkness. They will be sorrowful and grieving. Ulaika humul kafaratul fajara. These are those who covered up the truth and were evil. So these two diametrically opposing groups are contrasted. The first group, conscious of Allah, stands in awe of Him, while the second group, a group perceiving independence of the Creator, arrogant and inflicting injustice and cruelty upon others. And finally, the did you know? The surah reinforces the message of Surah An-Naziat, ayah 45, where Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَهَا. You are only a warner to those who fear accountability. In other words, to those who understand accountability. The Prophet wished the guidance to reach even those who considered themselves independent of the Creator and the Messenger. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of Ahlul Qur'an, to make us of those who heed the message of the Qur'an and to understand its awesomeness and be of those who are grateful. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.